You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. Since the last show was rather a long edition, it was not quite 2 hours, I think over 100 minutes, though. I wanted to make this show a lot shorter, and it will be a lot shorter. The president today announced that he's not going to certify the Iran deal is in compliance. So he's kicked it to Congress to make the decision as to what to do, which is the constitutional thing to do, because the so-called agreement that President Obama and Secretary Kerry negotiated was a treaty and should have gone through Congress, and it never would have passed. So they went through this fiction, and Senator Corker, that is not going to run again, I think he's not going to run because he knows he wouldn't be elected, is retiring. But he's largely responsible, not so much for the deal, but for abrogating the Constitution, because if anything should be a treaty, it was that Iranian abomination. And I side with Trump on this. If it were up to me, I would tear the thing up, but if Congress would like to assist me in it, I'll go that route for a while. Why am I saying that? What is the most dangerous thing in the world today? It's nuclear proliferation, especially in the Middle East and the Far East, where nuclear weapons could get in the hands of terrorists. That is the greatest fear. That's the last thing the United States and Europe wants. And the two powers that could enable that, either now or in the not-so-distant future, is North Korea and the Islamic Republic of Iran. I was adamantly against the Iranian nuclear deal. And like I said, if it really had to go through Congress, it never would have been passed. That's why Obama didn't do it. You see, I'm a rather stickler for the United States Constitution. Unfortunately, we have two parties in control of the government, both the Democrat and Republican parties. I know right now the Republican wing of that big government party is in control of the House and the Senate and the presidency. And they want bigger and bigger government, more and more spending, whether it's welfare spending or defense spending. But I think the principal function, the main function of the federal government, is to protect the United States against its enemies. And one of the worst threats to the United States today would be a nuclear bomb going off in one or more cities of the United States that could be smuggled in and blown up by who? Terrorists. Not necessarily state actors, but terrorist organizations. So we need to stop Iran from getting nuclear weapons. As far as I'm concerned, they already do. That's the dirty little secret that they don't want to tell you about. And who's assisting them in miniaturizing those nuclear weapons and testing those nuclear weapons? That is North Korea. So you need to link definitely the relationship regarding nuclear weapons between North Korea and Iran. And we've had a failed foreign policy, both under Democrat and Republican administrations, in handling both North Korea and Iran. We need a hard line, not an appeasement line. And I agree with former ambassador to the UN, John Bolton, that this is the greatest appeasement of totalitarian regimes since Chamberlain caved to Adolf Hitler. That's how bad it is. I actually think it's worse. What happened subsequently in 1938? Germany and went in to Czechoslovakia. And at the time, we could have stopped Hitler if we had backbone. But we didn't do it. We appeased him. And it's only a matter of time that World War II started. I'm not for being an appeaser. Although I'm a non-interventionist, I do believe in a strong national defense and a strong foreign policy that protects the American people, its property, and our country, as well as our allies. And keep that in mind. We're a member of NATO, but we're also allies with Japan and South Korea. And we need to protect our allies. But we also need to protect the United States, its people, and the rest of the world against a nuclear explosion set off by terrorists. And that's the road we're proceeding down. At some point in time, and that's up to the president and Congress to decide, the United States is going to take out the nuclear bomb factories both in North Korea and in Iran. When? That will be a surprise. You'll hear it on the news. But that's what needs to be done. It should have been done several years ago. But we had an appeaser in the White House, and that is former President Barack Obama. I really enjoy saying former. He really didn't know what he was doing. But the left in this country wants to weaken this country. That's why I oppose them. And they weakened it abroad in terms of appeasing terrorists, the leading sponsor of terrorism in the world, that's Iran, and gave them money to do it. I totally rejected the Iran treaty. I'm not in any way wavering from it. And at some point in time, the United States, with its allies, will need to jointly take out those bomb factories and missile factories in North Korea and Iran. And I think it will be a combined operation with Israel, as well as the United States, together with some of our allies that understand the nuclear threat, taking out the missile and nuclear bomb factories and research facilities in Iran and North Korea. Does that mean we're on the verge of war? No. I think we have some time. But one of the problems with North Korea, as well as Iran, is we don't have really very good sources of intelligence. And that's risky, because it's clear that North Korea is going full steam ahead in terms of testing its missiles as well as its nuclear bombs. And once they have perfected that and have an intercontinental ballistic missile, they will be selling it to who? Their first customer will be, you guessed it, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And then that will destabilize the Middle East, because if that were to happen, what do you think Saudi Arabia is going to do, Turkey is going to do? In other words, the Sunnis are going to do, whether they're Arab or Turk, once that is clearly what has happened. They will get nuclear weapons. They will buy them from Pakistan and put them on missiles that they already have. I do not want a situation in the Middle East, or for that matter, the Far East, where nations are arming with nuclear weapons. There are only 9 nations today. There may be 2 others that have nuclear weapons. And let me see if I can get them right. It's the United States, the United Kingdom, France, India, China, Pakistan, Israel, and I always come short. My mind's blanking out. Oh, I think Iran has them. They have not tested them, and they don't have a missile capability yet, but they will. And I think North Korea has nuclear weapons. Their problem is they have to miniaturize them so they can put it on a missile. We need to stop it there and really denuclearize both North Korea and Iran, and that would be popular with the American people. Donald Trump will make the case to do it, and he will win with the American people. What is he up against? He's up against our own Department of State and, to a certain extent, our own Defense Department. The Department of State, even though the political appointees of Obama are gone, the career diplomats who were largely responsible and enabled Obama and Secretary Kerry to enter in this deal are still there. They want to keep it, as do some of the European countries, and that includes France. So we need and will have a change. What I want to play is, and I want to make sure you understand, and I'm going to say this up front, and then I'm going to play what the president said. We have not torn up the treaty yet. We have notified Congress, President Trump has, that we do not believe Iran is in compliance. Congress has 60 days to reply as to what they do. And then if they don't do anything, which is a possibility, I hope they restore sanctions. But let's take a worst case, they do nothing. Then I would recommend to the president, as would others, to tear it up. And that's exactly what President Trump can do and he should do. And the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. Now let's hear what President Trump said.
Thank you very much. My fellow Americans, as President of the United States, my highest obligation is to ensure the safety and security of the American people. History has shown that the longer we ignore a threat, the more dangerous that threat becomes. For this reason, upon taking office, I've ordered a complete strategic review of our policy toward the rogue regime in Iran. That review is now complete. Today, I am announcing our strategy, along with several major steps we are taking to confront the Iranian regime's hostile actions and to ensure that Iran never, and I mean never, acquires a nuclear weapon. Our policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, its sponsorship of terrorism, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world. Iran is under the control of a fanatical regime that seized power in 1979 and forced a proud people to submit to its extremist rule. This radical regime has raided the wealth of one of the world's oldest and most vibrant nations and spread death, destruction, and chaos all around the globe. Beginning in 1979, agents of the Iranian regime illegally seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and held more than 60 Americans hostage during the 444 days of the crisis. The Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah twice bombed our embassy in Lebanon, once in 1983 and again in 1984. Another Iranian-supported bombing killed 241 Americans, service members they were, in their barracks in Beirut in 1983. In 1996, the regime directed another bombing of American military housing in Saudi Arabia, murdering 19 Americans in cold blood. Iranian proxies provided training to operatives who were later involved in al-Qaeda's bombing of the American embassies in Kenya, Tanzania, and 2 years later killing 224 people and wounding more than 4,000 others. The regime harbored high-level terrorists in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, including Osama bin Laden's son. In Iraq and Afghanistan, groups supported by Iran have killed hundreds of American military personnel. The Iranian dictatorship's aggression continues to this day. The regime remains the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism and provides assistance to al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Hezbollah, Hamas, and other terrorist networks. It develops, deploys, and proliferates missiles that threaten American troops and our allies. It harasses American ships and threatens freedom of navigation in the Arabian Gulf and in the Red Sea. It imprisons Americans on false charges, and it launches cyber attacks against our critical infrastructure, financial system, and military. The United States is far from the only target of the Iranian dictatorship's long campaign of bloodshed. The regime violently suppresses its own citizens. It shot unarmed student protesters in the street during the Green Revolution. This regime has fueled sectarian violence in Iraq and vicious civil wars in Yemen and Syria. In Syria, the Iranian regime has supported the atrocities.
Now, I'm going to interrupt it there. I'm glad President Trump gave that brief history lesson. We have been at war with Iran for over 35 years, really since 1979. They have used proxies, Hezbollah being the major one, to kill Americans. And they are trying to destabilize other regimes in the area. You need to understand two things. The Iranians are Persians. They're not Arabs. They're Persians. That's the ethnic group. And they are Shia. What's happening is a split in the Middle East between the Persians, who are Shia, and the Sunnis, who are Arab. They hate each other's guts, and this has been going on for hundreds of years. It's not new. It's a religious civil war. Now, I've said on this program many times, we shouldn't pick sides, because usually, and I think in this case too, there is no good side to choose. That is the dilemma that presidents face. But there is a more overriding consideration, and that is the spread of terrorism into other countries. But, and the possibility at some future date, not in the too distant future, in other words, sooner rather than later, that they will use their proxies, their contacts, their associations with terrorist groups, and place nuclear weapons or shoot missiles that would either damage Israel, Europe, or the United States. We need to prevent that. So why I'm a non-interventionist, I would support, as I think the majority of Americans would support, a declaration of war against Iran. That's what the Constitution requires. That will formalize the actual situation that we've been in for many, many years. They've been attacking us and attacking us and attacking us. And presidents, Democrat and Republican, have turned the cheek. That needs to stop. And that means, unfortunately, war in the Middle East to stop Iran. And maybe in the Far East, if China cannot convince North Korea to stop its nuclear program as well as its missile program. I think Trump is giving the Chinese, the communist Chinese, about a year or a little over a year to see what they can accomplish. And if they cannot accomplish, then at some date there will be a joint attack on both North Korea as well as Iran. And the purpose of it will to annihilate, eliminate, terminate both the nuclear programs of those two countries as well as the missile programs. So that we have time right now, limited amount of time, to continue diplomatic efforts. But they have failed, both in the case of North Korea for over 25 years, as well as in terms of Iran. We haven't had a president yet that had a backbone. We had talkers, not doers. Appeasers, not doers. And that puts the American people, its property, this nation, as well as our troops and other nations, as well as our allies, at risk. They must be stopped, and all the nuclear missile programs of Iran and North Korea totally, completely destroyed. That could easily mean a nuclear war. I'm totally aware of that. And it might require the use of nuclear weapons to take out those missiles and bomb factories, as I like to call them, nuclear research and assembly of nuclear weapons. I think we would have the support of Israel in terms of Iran, the support of Japan and South Korea in terms of North Korea, as well as our NATO allies. We need to get their attention, and I think we have it, and Trump has got their attention with this announcement. Let's continue.
The atrocities of Bashar al-Assad's regime and condoned Assad's use of chemical weapons against helpless civilians, including many, many children. Given the regime's murderous past and present, we should not take lightly its sinister vision for the future. The regime's two favorite chants are death to America and death to Israel. Realizing the gravity of the situation, the United States and the United Nations Security Council sought over many years to stop Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons with a wide array of strong economic sanctions. But the previous administration lifted these sanctions just before what would have been the total collapse of the Iranian regime. Through the deeply controversial 2015 nuclear deal with Iran. This deal is known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA. As I have said many times, the Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. The same mindset that produced this deal is responsible for years of terrible trade deals that have sacrificed so many millions of jobs in our country to the benefit of other countries.
Now, I'm agreeing with Trump here. The problem is the State Department, its career personnel, and the fact for the last 8 years we have a leftist regime that is for big government and weaken the United States, thought the United States was the problem, and now we have a president that wants a strong national defense and a strong foreign policy that protects the American people and our allies. And it's going to take time to replace the bureaucrats in the State Department and in the Department of Defense that for 8 years have weakened this country's defense posture. So I applaud what President Trump is doing today, but I would have simply torn the treaty up on television and then request from Congress the re-implementation of tough sanctions and then plan to take out those weapons in a timely manner and make it known that we will not abide the continuing of building bombs, nuclear bombs, to be put on long-range missiles. So everyone would be on notice, and we'd be making the military plans together with our allies, those that want to join us or not, to eliminate both North Korea and Iran as a threat to world peace and the spread of nuclear weapons.
We need negotiators who will much more strongly represent America's interests. The nuclear deal threw Iran's dictatorship a political and economic lifeline, providing urgently needed relief from the intense domestic pressure the sanctions had created. It also gave the regime an immediate financial boost and over $100 billion its government could use to fund terrorism. The regime also received a massive cash settlement of $1.7 billion from the United States, a large portion of which was physically loaded onto an airplane and flown into Iran. Just imagine the sight of those huge piles of money being hauled off by the Iranians waiting at the airport for the cash. I wonder where all that money went. Worst of all, the deal allows Iran to continue developing certain elements of its nuclear program. And importantly, in just a few years, as key restrictions disappear, Iran can sprint towards a rapid nuclear weapons breakout. In other words, we got weak inspections in exchange for no more than a purely short-term and temporary delay in Iran's path to nuclear weapons. What is the purpose of a deal that, at best, only delays Iran's nuclear capability for a short period of time? This, as President of the United States, is unacceptable. In other countries, they think in terms of 100-year intervals, not just a few years at a time. The saddest part of the deal for the United States is that all of the money was paid up front, which is unheard of, rather than at the end of the deal, when they have shown they've played by the rules. But what's done is done, and that's why we are where we are.
Now, I want to add, Obama really was Breaking Bad. He took sides with the bad guys. Who were the bad guys? Yes, the mullahs and their dictatorship that's brutal to their own people, the Iranians. This was a sellout. President Obama sided with the bad guys. He broke bad and gave us a bad deal, not in the interest of the American people or the United States of America, but in the interest of the Iranians. And that put us squarely, and it's perceived as, taking sides with Iran. And that meant that Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Turkey, and the other Sunni nations were saying, they're not protecting us. They're building up Iran to be a superpower in the region, a hegemon in the Middle East that would have nuclear weapons in the not-too-distant future. They would not allow this to stand. And once it's clear that Iran has the nuclear weapons and the ability to deliver it, the Saudis, the Turks, as well as other Sunni nations, will try to defend themselves, will have an arms race in the Middle East, and a race for all those nations, including Egypt. I forgot Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, maybe even Jordan, to buy nuclear weapons from who? Pakistan. That is not what we want, especially when Iran is a known supporter of terrorism around the world, not only in the Middle East. So again, I applaud the president's statement. I'm glad he gave the background for this. And if that makes the career State Department employees, including the Secretary of State that was appointed by Trump, namely Rex Tillerson, doesn't like it, tough. I think it's about time that the United States make it clear to those nations that want to spread nuclear weapons throughout the world that will not happen. Let's continue with Mr. Trump, President Trump.
The Iranian regime has committed multiple violations of the agreement. For example, on two separate occasions, they have exceeded the limit of 130 metric tons of heavy water. Until recently, the Iranian regime has also failed to meet our expectations in its operation of advanced centrifuges. The Iranian regime has also intimidated international inspectors into not using the full inspection authorities that the agreement calls for. Iranian officials and military leaders have repeatedly claimed they will not allow inspectors onto military sites, even though the international community suspects some of those sites were part of Iran's clandestine nuclear weapons program. There are also many people who believe that Iran is dealing with North Korea. I am going to instruct our intelligence agencies to do a thorough analysis and report back their findings beyond what they have already reviewed. By its own terms, the Iran deal was supposed to contribute to regional and international peace and security. And yet, while the United States adheres to our commitment under the deal, the Iranian regime continues to fuel conflict, terror, and turmoil throughout the Middle East and beyond. Importantly, Iran is not living up to the spirit of the deal. So today, in recognition of the increasing menace posed by Iran, and after extensive consultations with our allies, I am announcing a new strategy to address the full range of Iran's destructive actions. First, We will work with our allies to counter the regime's destabilizing activity and support for terrorist proxies in the region. Second, we will place additional sanctions on the regime to block their financing of terror. Third, we will address the regime's proliferation of missiles and weapons that threaten its neighbors' global trade and freedom of navigation. And finally, we will deny the regime all paths to a nuclear weapon. Today, I'm also announcing several major steps my administration has taken in pursuit of this strategy. The execution of our strategy begins with the long overdue step of imposing tough sanctions on Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. The Revolutionary Guard is the Iranian supreme leader's corrupt personal terror force and militia. It has hijacked large portions of Iran's economy and seized massive religious endowments to fund war and terror abroad. This includes arming the Syrian dictator, supplying proxies and partners with missiles and weapons to attack civilians in the region, and even plotting to bomb a popular restaurant right here in Washington, D.C. I am authorizing the Treasury Department to further sanction the entire Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps for its support for terrorism and to apply sanctions to its officials, agents, and affiliates. I urge our allies to join us in taking strong actions to curb Iran's continued dangerous and destabilizing behavior, including thorough sanctions outside the Iran deal that target the regime's ballistic missile program in support for terrorism and all of its destructive activities, of which there are many. Finally, on the grave matter of Iran's nuclear program, since the signing of the nuclear agreement, the regime's dangerous aggression has only escalated. At the same time, it has received massive sanctions relief while continuing to develop its missiles program. Iran has also entered into lucrative business contracts with other parties to the agreement. When the agreement was finalized in 2015, Congress passed the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act to ensure that Congress's voice would be heard on the deal. Among other conditions, this law requires the president or his designee to certify that the suspension of sanctions under the deal is appropriate and proportionate to measure and other measures taken by Iran to terminate its illicit nuclear program. Based on the factual record I have put forward, I am announcing today that we cannot and will not make this certification. We will not continue down a path whose predictable conclusion is more violence, more terror, and the very real threat of Iran's nuclear breakout.
I'm going to leave it there. That was President Trump making, I think, an historic speech, a dramatic shift in United States foreign policy that apparently the State Department, its career bureaucrats there, diplomats, as well as his own Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, does not agree with it. Well, Mr. Trump, I think it's about time that you accept the resignation of Rex Tillerson and appoint and former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton to the position. Cut your losses quickly. Ambassador Bolton knows the situation, knows the State Department, knows this was a terrible, terrible agreement, and he would serve you much better than the former executive of Exxon. Ask an appropriate time for the resignation of Secretary Tillerson, and then immediately appoint Ambassador Bolton, who understands the situation a lot better than Secretary Tillerson and many, if not most, of those that are career State Department employees. But time is of the essence. The sooner you do this, the better. Hopefully you will do it before the one-year anniversary of you being president. It's time for a change, several changes in our Department of State, starting with the Secretary of State. Now, there are two other news stories, and I'm running short of time, but I will cover at least one of them very, very quickly. It was announced today that consumer sentiment, there are two surveys, and people confuse them. You have the Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index, and you also have the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment. Now, I prefer the Conference Board number, but they both more or less go together, but they are differently constructed. The important thing is it reached and spiked up last month. That's good news. It hit a 13-year high, but I want to put a little more perspective in it. We're still not above the highs that we've had in the past. That will not happen until Obamacare, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, is completely and totally repealed and replaced. And the Senate, because of certain senators, failed in a close vote to partially repeal it. I don't think it was a total repeal. I'm not in favor of the Senate bill. It needs to change, just as this policy with Iran needs to change. The sooner Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, is history, and I mean the total replacement, not only the law, but all the regulations, all the mandates, individual as well as employer, all the taxes, not just some of the taxes, and all of the subsidies are eliminated, the better for the United States economy, because that is one of the reasons the United States economy has been stagnating, with growth rates averaging around 2% for the last 8 years instead of the historical trend of 3 to 3.5. So it's incumbent on Congress, especially the Republicans control the House and the Senate, to get on with it. They've been promising this for 7 years, the repeal and replacement, and I mean total repeal and total replacement of Obamacare. And if Republicans are standing in the way, then they should be targeted for replacement come next November. In other words, challenge, primary them, and get Republicans that are truly for repeal and replace. Now, there's some of the people that either last time or the preceding 2 years got reelected. We can't get rid of all the senators, such as John McCain, but we should get rid of as many congressmen that are in the way of returning competition to the health insurance market. Unfortunately, there are dozens of them. Although they want to make you believe they're conservative Republicans, if you actually look at Conservative Review, which has a scorecard, most, if not all, of the leadership of the Republican Party, both in the Senate and the House, are not conservatives. They're D and F Republicans. We want A and B Republicans, people that believe in limited government. That's why I say I've given up on both parties. Both political parties today are big government parties. They're not for limited government. And you see that in the continuation and passing of a budget that will result in a deficit of this year somewhere between $400 and $500 billion. And shortly, soon, we will know the deficit for the fiscal year 2017, which ended 30 September, and that should be over $600 billion. It is time for the American people to challenge both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party with a viable, successful party that truly believes in the United States Constitution, believes in limited government, believes in fiscal responsibility, balanced budgets, and really agrees with fundamental tax reform. And unfortunately, President Trump's proposed tax reform is not it. That was a product of Congress, both the House and the Senate, the so-called Group of Six. It is a timid, tiny tax that's temporary. We got news that our Secretary of Treasury indicated it's most likely that any tax package bill passed will be temporary. That's bad economic policy. You don't want a temporary targeted tax cut. You want a permanent broad-based tax cut. That's why on many shows, including the last one, I have said replace the entire income tax system, replace all federal taxes with a single tax, a broad-based consumption tax, along the lines of either the fair tax or my modified and more generous version of it, fair tax less. And if you do that, the sooner you do that, the sooner the United States economy can be growing at 4, 5, 6%. I don't think it's going to happen with this Republican leadership, both in the House and the Senate. And if it doesn't happen, then President Trump should run in 2020 against Congress. Both the Democratic Party, as well as those Republicans, not all, but most of these Republicans, can't get the job done. If they can't get results that matter and have a significant impact and make this economy again one of growth where the incentives are right, then fire them. Replace the leadership in the House and the Senate. They can't deliver the goods. You've given them the opportunity, Mr. Trump, and they've already failed you once, and I'm willing to bet they're going to fail you twice. They'll try to sell it as a broad-based tax reform. It isn't. It's business as usual. It's the status quo. Yes, with some changes that I agree with. What you should do, Mr. Trump, is start again, have your own broad-based consumption tax. You can, how should I say it, tweak it, whether it's the fair tax or my version, fair tax less. Make it your own. Put your brand on it, the Trump tax. And you should, if it's a broad-based consumption tax, be able to sell it to the American people. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what's needed now, and the sooner the better. It would have been better to do this in the first few months of this year. And what was the Senate doing, as well as the House? Oh, we're going to repeal and replace this right away. While we're waiting, we got a little over 2.5 months to go, and I don't think it's going to pass. It's Trump's tiny, timid tax reduction. That's all it is. I'm all for tax reduction. He's got, Mr. Trump, you're going in the right direction. The problem is your so-called plan, framework, whatever you want to call it. And yes, we don't know all the details yet. And that's been a big problem because it seems that the details keep changing. I've lost count how many he's had. The problem is you're leaving the income tax system in place. Scrap it. Scrap it, Mr. Trump, and replace it with a fair, simple, visible, transparent, broad-based consumption tax. Because the tax that's hurting all American people, the vast majority of the American people, is not the income tax, but the payroll tax. You need a broad-based consumption tax that replaces all federal taxes, including the payroll tax and the income tax. And it needs to be a permanent change, not a temporary change. And it would be for all the American people because the tax would apply to all Americans and all Americans would get a generous tax rebate. With that, I have to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening. And I'm still debating next week whether or not I'm going to take a short vacation. I may or may not take a few days off next week. I have some other business to deal with, so it's somewhat up in the air. I'm still waiting on a decision, and once I get some additional information, I'll make an announcement Monday. I most likely will give a Monday program, but I probably will not give a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday program. Thank you for listening to the Prompt Pop Show, and now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.